Well, brothers, when we come to this matter of anointing, surely in our experience it has come to a kind of apex. I call it an apex. In our Christian experience of the triune God. And so this is a most, most essential, indispensable, totally strategic experience that the saints must be brought into. Every saint. To know the anointing, to obey the anointing, and eventually to remain or abide in the anointing. This morning when I was preparing a little bit, the quick story that came to me is the story of Austin Sparks, who sort of famously, according to Brother Lee's account, and he, that is Austin Sparks, told Brother Lee this. That is, Austin Sparks visited Taiwan twice. First time in 1955, very good, because he did not touch the church ground or the church matter. He just ministered Christ. And so it was so successful that he got re-invited 2 years later in 1957 again. This time, unfortunately, he was stirred up to touch the church ground, to attack, basically, the church ground which we hold dear. And the many things that happened, but the short story was he later told Brother Lee that when his plane took off from Taipei Airport after that visit in Taiwan, he said, "The flow left me. The flow, the inner flow left me." And then he told Brother Lee, this is 1958, when Brother Lee took his first visit around the world, coming to this country first for the first time. And after this, he went on to England to reciprocate, actually, Austin Sparks' visit by Austin Sparks' invitation. It was at that time Austin Sparks, as Brother Lee did, Brother Lee turned over the whole pulpit to him when he visited Taiwan. So Austin Sparks turned over the whole pulpit at the Christian Fellowship Center in Honor Oak to Brother Lee, I think for an entire month or some long time. And he also took Brother Lee to his own country home in Scotland. He was a Scottish. He was a Scot. And then they would have daily debate or discussion on this matter of the church, and eventually they could not see eye to eye. But Brother Sparks, intimated to Brother Lee about this story, how the flow left him. He said one morning, Brother Witness or whatever, Brother Lee, he said, "This morning I was still crying to the Lord for the return of that flow." Now, if you study Brother Austin Sparks, I almost have all his books in my library. He's a great man of God, absolutely the last of the inner life line of ministers. And the Lord used him greatly, he being a disciple, really, of Mrs. Penn Lewis, who, we may say, recover the subjective experience of Christ's death. And he, this is Sparks, recovered the subjective experience of Christ's resurrection. One of the some of the messages he gave on resurrection became of the greatest help to Brother Lee in his early ministry. But such a man of God, after he touched the church matter in an improper way, lost the flow, and his ministry was never the same. From then on, he continued to minister in the 60s and also into the, I think, early 70s. I don't remember the date of his passing or death, but his ministry was not the same. He started to minister in the 20s, and very prolific, spoke and this in England, and actually worldwide. So, brothers, that story came back to me, and I would say, in a certain sense, of course, God has His, sovereign and governmental hand in this matter, for sure. But quite apart from that, for a Christian, for a ministers of God in particular, to lose the flow, which in a very good sense is to lose the moving of God within him. In other words, you may even say to lose the anointing. I tell you, that spells the end. You know, I am also a small minister of the Lord's word, and I know to some degree how dear, how precious, how absolutely essential the anointing is. When you lose the anointing, brothers, you lost it. In fact, you cannot even serve effectively anymore. Now, we know this anointing through later ministry of Brother Lee starting in the 60s really is seen in terms of the greatest type in the anointing oil, right? In Exodus 30, you know, those ingredients, I don't get into that. It has been greatly, even much further recovered as being a type of the all-inclusive compound spirit of Jesus Christ. And so in Philippians it says, the bountiful supply of the spirit of Jesus Christ, that spirit actually is experienced as the anointing, the compound ointment that is the moving of the spirit, and that is the triune God within us. Now, this whole matter of anointing is rich to the uttermost and quite complex. But these are lessons not trying to address all that. So I would say, don't get into that. Not that you don't need to study those things or understand these things. This is to help the saints to gain an entry into the experience of this anointing. And brothers, let me tell you, this thing is not talked about among Christians at all in Christianity. Maybe some Pentecostals, they talk about the holy ointment, they say something, and there's a little bit of understanding, but far from complete, and in fact, oftentimes abused and misinterpreted in what they call the ointment or the anointing. But what we have in the recovery is the most proper understanding and the broadest and the most complete understanding of what the anointing is, and even in terms of our experience, this matter is the richest, the most accurate in the Lord's recovery. I would say, I use the word apex, because almost all the experiences that we have in our life with the Lord, our walk with the Lord, our Christian walk, our fellowship with God, are all wrapped up in this matter of the anointing. And the saints must be brought to this. Even the dealing with the conscience, the digging of the inward parts, all those are somewhat, I would say the sense of life, all those are somewhat on the negative side. Negative meaning it has to deal with certain things. Am I right? You have to have a clear conscience. You have to deal with sin. You have to deal with the condemnation from God on what is wrong, and even the sense of life, as wonderful as it is more on the reactive side. That means whenever you do something, there is a reaction. That reaction is what? Is the sense of life, whether it is something you feel dead, you feel depressed, you feel dark, that is a sense that you're wrong, you're in the wrong place. Or you feel bright, you feel living, you feel released, you feel peaceful. All that is a sense that you're in the right condition. But the anointing is not based on what you did or what you said or what environment you're in. The anointing is independent of that. The anointing is God dwelling in us, operating. I use the word operate because that's a Philippians. It is God who operates in you. That means God does things. God moves. God acts. God is not static. God is not stationary. God is constantly moving. And that moving triune God of this living triune God within our spirit is the anointing. And this anointing, therefore, is everything to our Christian life. So to have God in you is one thing. But to have God happily moving and acting and operating with you, I tell you that is the greatest blessing. Amen. And a normal Christian should experience this moving of God all the time. Amen. Just sitting there right now, you should be experiencing the triune God moving, Amen. Acting in many, many different ways. And that acting is the proof that his presence is with you. We say, is God present with me? That's how you know. By this inner consciousness or inner sense of something, someone moving, acting, doing things, touching in you in a very active way. You see? And this primarily is what Brother Lee called painting. You know, the ointment is to rub some ointment on you, right? This morning I have a little rash, so I have to get some cortisone and rub it, rub here. Well, the rubbing is what? It's not painting, it's rubbing. But it is what? It is by rubbing that ointment sinks into my skin, and the element of that ointment becomes mine. Amen. Am I right? And it has its effects and so on. And God is continually rubbing and painting us so that talk about God's dispensing, God's economy, God's way of dispensing himself into us is by anointing. Amen. So whenever you don't have the experience of the anointing, you are not under God's dispensing. So, Mr. Sparks, you may say, miss God's dispensing in the latter part of his life, at least vis-a-vis or related to his ministry. And let me tell you, for a minister of God, I know, that's the end. That's the end. It's like God's presence left the prophet in the Old Testament. It's tantamount to that. And for a prophet of the Lord, for a minister of God's word, to lose that is actually to lose his commission. But for us, who are not necessarily prophets or whatever, the principle is the same. That all the saints have to come to know this anointing so deeply, so dearly, so thoroughly, so intimately. They just know. They just know. And they seek it. And the primary purpose is through this anointing, God would add himself and his element into our being. This whole thing of we become God and so forth, life and nature, that happens through the anointing, the ointment, okay? But there's a secondary purpose. The secondary purpose is it teaches. It not only rubs or it not only anoints and not only dispenses, it actually teaches. Teaches what? Teaches us of all things. All things related to God. All things related to Christ. All things related to the Spirit. All things related to the triune God. So in Hebrews it says, all shall know me, from the smallest to the greatest. You don't need a teacher. But that doesn't mean we don't need a teacher. We are now teaching, am I right? But he's talking not about the outward teaching, the objective teaching, knowledge, which we need. He's talking about the inner knowing of God, the subjective knowing of God. That experiential knowledge of God comes through the anointing. And so if you don't know the anointing, the saints don't know this, have no experience of the anointing, they don't know this teaching. They don't know God. How do you know God, Jacob? Through the anointing. God doesn't show up. God doesn't, is not physical. God doesn't talk to you in that way. It is through this inner consciousness, this very active, very operative, very, very non-stop and constant moving of God that you know God. Oh, God is like this. Oh, God right now wants me to do this. Oh, I, you know, this morning I drank too much milk tea, it's really not good. So the first half of the night I slept, the second half I just lay there. But brothers, let me tell you, I may lay there, but I tell you, the anointing doesn't stop.
Amen.
And it should not stop. I tell you, I may be laying there, but I tell you, the anointing just moves. And I know it's moving, moving and moving. And eventually, it moves me to pray. And not just to pray, but pray in a very specific for certain individuals. And see? It's not me wanting to pray. It's God wanting me to pray. God has a very present and practical will for me as a Christian to pray. And the way he lets me know is to teach me by this inner anointing. Brothers, we ourselves, brothers, need to know this intimately. And I'm not sure even all of us brothers experience the anointing or know the anointing as we should. But we also must help the saints into this experience. This is critical, critical. And we don't even talk that much about these things anymore in the church life. This kind of thing should reign in us. Should dominate our Christian life. So brothers, we're going to get into the anointing next month, and you have in your hands, I think, did you not pass it out?
Yes.
Three lessons for 3 weeks. And it does not get into a lot of the doctrinal side, you know, the typology, the Exodus 30. No. But don't. I would even say try to restrain yourself from going there. You need the knowledge, but you will complicate things. This is mainly for the basic knowledge and experience of the anointing. You know, I pray to the Lord a lot. I say, Lord, regardless of what, don't let your word, basically your speaking, your anointing, leave me.
Amen.
Because I'd rather die. I'd rather die. The day when I don't have the Lord moving in me in this wonderful way, I'm over. No matter, I can try, I can still give a message probably, I can still serve, run around, but the flow is gone. You have to help the saints. Similarly, they have to love this anointing, treasure this anointing, obey this anointing, dwell in this anointing all the time. That's how we should live. then we have the Lord's presence, right? We have the Lord's dispensing. Now, please pull out your outline. I'm not going to go through this, but here are three most wonderful, well-put-together sessions to introduce the saints into this great matter. So I'm going to highlight some, all right? Highlight some. The first one is simply, the first lesson is just defining the anointing, okay? Defining the anointing. So I'm just going to highlight. In Roman numeral 1, the main thing you have to highlight is simply what is in the dark, the Roman numeral, that the anointing is simply God himself, but not just God himself, but God moving and working within us. That's why I like that verse in Philippians. It is God who operates. So our God is not static. Our God is not a package. Our God is a living person, and he's always moving, working, doing things, active, very active within us. That's the anointing. So you have to help the saints to immediately know this definition, all right? So I'll be very, very quick. I like in A that the anointing even grammatically is a gerund. That means a verbal noun. You all know what that is. It is a noun that is a verb. A verb that is a noun. So it says it's not merely a substance. The anointing is not some ointment, just substance. The ointment is a substance in motion. I have a tube of a cortisone, but it's substance. But only when I take that and start doing this is the anointing. It's not just ointment. Ointment is the substance. Anointing is the motion of this thing being rubbed onto me. They got, you have to help the saints to God. It's not right even to demonstrate. You know, I will get some brother up there and I'll bring some Vaseline or whatever. and then I will. Do you feel it?
Comfortable.
Well, forget about comfortable or not. Do you feel it?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
If I just put a dab of this ointment here, that's ointment. But when I do this, that's anointing.
Amen.
See, you tell the saints, and sometimes it's like this. Sometimes it's soft. Sometimes it's squeezing. Sometimes maybe this. Those who know the anointing knows the anointing works in many, many ways. Yeah. So active, so living, so fine, so full of feeling, so wonderful. Brothers, so you have to help the saints, it's the spirit in motion. It's not just the spirit. It is the spirit, but it is the compound spirit in motion. Okay, and then B, it says, it is the spirit in us constantly working and moving and acting. So here the key word is constant. It doesn't stop. It doesn't come and go. It may be a little bit less active or more active, but it's never non-active. That's why even when I could not sleep, the anointing goes again. It's still just rubbing. And I become a prisoner of the anointing. Everything I do is, there's the anointing there. And I need that anointing to live, to serve. You know, the brothers told me that, you know, I put out a lot of outlines. I just keep doing this, and they it has to be translated by the Spanish, Chinese, right? And these Chinese brothers are just. He said, "These these outlines coming from you are just ferocious. That means it doesn't stop." I don't know why. I told you, I've 36 is book one. Book two is coming out. You know, the collected works is just finished. The editing of the whole collected works is finished. And one of the main brothers who work on it is Brother Bob Denker. So now he's putting his full attention to put out book two, you know, of the eldership lessons. Well, you got lesson 37 to 72. Well, since then I have added another 12 lessons. So you missed the last 12 appendix or lessons or something like that. And meanwhile, I put out 48 lessons for the sisters. And then I put out now, latest is 100 lessons for full-timers. And now I'm going to put out a gospel manual for the saints. A manual for preaching the gospel, which Brother Lee told us to do. So I'm just doing this. You think I'm just have nothing better to do? Just writing out lines? No. Let me tell you, that's where the anointing comes in. I'm sitting there in fellowship with the saints, and in their fellowship, I tell you, the anointing clicks, the anointing touches, and then there's a burden. These are not things that are in my mind, you know, I just think about this or that. But brothers, this is my experience. We all should have similar experiences in our daily life. Every saint should be able to say, oh, the Lord move in me to do this. Oh, yesterday the Spirit was operating in me. And that should be common. Common. All right? Okay, let's go on. And then and C, the key word is reaching us. It's not just a substance in motion. It is not just a constant activity. It is God reaching you. Amen. God reaching you. God touching you. God arrived. God has arrived in the anointing. My. Isn't it a blessing, brothers? Amen. That God reached me last night. Amen. You know, when I was laying in bed. And I was able to obey his will. Okay, and then D, it says what? Is the same thing, right? The triune God becoming life to us. How is God being life to you? It's just talking. It is by this anointing we know that he's living in us, you know, energizing, operating in us. Some people say, Minorchen, where do you get all this energy? Right, I mean, running around and don't you get tired? Well, I get tired. I'm human. But there are sometimes even I don't know where the energy comes from. So I only attribute to the saints' prayer. You know what I mean? And I believe it is the saints' prayer. But I will tell you, when the anointing moves, goodness, you get energized. Because he moves so much, you have to move with it. Isn't that good? Amen. I tell you, that's the meaning of being a vital brother. When the Spirit never moves in you, you're non-vital. When the Spirit is always moving in you, this way, that way, I tell you, you are just like the Energizer Bunny, right? You just cannot stop. You keep going. But not by your natural decision, the anointing, the triune God. Okay, quickly, again, the constancy of this move and action is the characteristic of this ointment. Yeah, do the rubbing example. People see practical examples, then they get it. Yeah? Okay, number two, the second main point in this lesson is that practically, how do we know the anointing? Okay, now we know the definition. Now we know what is the practical way. Okay, number one, the main thing is here is it is a deep sense within. It's a sense. It's a consciousness. It's a feeling, but it's very real. Sometimes it's almost physical, you know, in you. And that is not to be mixed up with the mind, your mind thinking something. It is beyond your mind. It is from another place, the moving of the Spirit within. Okay. And then the rest of this B, C, D, and E, brotherly emphasized the point that if we don't have so much of the anointing, then we need to, he says, we need to love the Lord. Okay, you have to make this point clear to the saints. You have to even tell the saints, saints, why are we short of the anointing? Because we don't love the anointer, right? Or we become disobedient, or we left the Lord. And when you leave the Lord, I tell you, one sign is his activity within you diminishes. Not much moving of the God within you is a sign that you're backsliding. So this matter of loving the Lord and just touching the Lord is a return. The way we return to experience this anointing again. Very simple, but very, very real. All right? Okay, number three, that's point two. Number three, the main thing here is what? We realize or we experience the anointing through what? Fellowship in the exercise of the Spirit. So the main point, the third thing here is what? Is the exercise of the Spirit in fellowship with the Lord. Okay, A, it says what? We can realize the anointing only through our fellowship with the Lord. I tell you, anointing and fellowship is what? Is entirely coupled and related. It is by having fellowship with the Lord through our exercising of the Spirit to touch Him, call on His name, you know, praying, so many things, that we experience the anointing. The more, right? The more, many times we're sitting there, nothing happens. You know, but when we start, Lord Jesus,
amen.
You feel something moving, amen. Right? You feel something moving. And the more you call, the more that moving is there. That's the point. That's the point. So we need to fellowship with the Lord, exercise our spirit, then the anointing will follow. And then the more the anointing is there, the more we are kept in that fellowship. Right? Okay, so B, it says again, we should therefore keep ourselves in the fellowship with the Lord constantly. Contact the Lord all the time. That's why we all need to touch the Lord moment by moment. So we can experience this anointing likewise. Okay, the third thing he's talking about is what? It's the Holy Spirit dwells and what? Communicates with us. You know, the anointing is the Spirit communicating with us. The Spirit speaking. Even teaching us in certain things. You know, sometimes we need to make a decision and, you know, it's not like you pray, oh Lord, what, and then somehow, miraculously, the Lord give you an answer. Many saints seek that kind of thing. No. I tell you, you pray, but it doesn't like you know anything. But I tell you, the praying is to bring you into the fellowship.
Yes.
While you are living a life of fellowship with the Lord in His time, in the Lord's time, in the Lord's timing and environment, I tell you, there is a kind of a flow within,
Amen.
A peace within concerning when you consider certain things. I tell you, that's the Lord's leading. That is the will of God, right? And that is not just to know God now, but not just to know God's will now. Actually, you come to know God. God's mind, God's feeling through this anointing.
Amen.
And by that, you make a decision. People think that we're strange. You know, what is this thing sounds kind of crazy, funny. But we who know the Lord knows this is more than real. Very accurate. In fact, it's very accurate. This kind of communication we receive from the Lord. And then, of course, finally, it talks about our need to follow that feeling and go along with that feeling. That ends this part. It leads into the second lesson. Okay, let's come to the lesson, second lesson. 3 points again. Just remember 3 points. Number one, this is the application now of the anointing. Number one, the anointing adds the element and essence of triune God within us. So here in this lesson, the emphasis is not knowing God's will and this kind of thing. The main thing in this lesson is about the addition of God, the painting of God, the dispensing of God's element and essence into us, which is the chief function of the anointing. So, the anointing is the working of the triune God, but work to do what? Work so that we can enjoy the triune God. As he works, as he moves, as he is active within us, as he is dispensing, we are actually enjoying God right there and then. Am I right? How do you know you're enjoying God? You say, I'm enjoying God right now. How do you know? You have that inner sense, right? You sensing God in his sweetness, in his riches, in his light, in his energy, in so many different ways. It's God working, moving within you, and by that you are actually enjoying God. And that is through the anointing. Key. Without the anointing, we just don't know. Okay, the next point is the more we have this anointing, the more God is being applied to us. And the essence of the triune God becomes ours. Number C says, use the example of painting. And painting, that is a good, maybe you should bring a paintbrush and paint. Not just one coat. I tell you, thousands of coats. You know, I'm in construction, so I know. I tell you, these expensive homes, they don't just have one coat of paint. They have 10 coats of paint. Then I tell you, the wall looks different. You know what I mean? I tell you, we need like millions of coats of God. And every moment God is painting. God is painting. You have to help the saints to know this is God painting you. Amen. Right? And that is the anointing's application. So the more we have the move of this anointing, the more God we have. Okay. So, and D says, the stress here is not merely that we know what God wants or God's will that will come, but it is to gain God and his element. Okay? So number two, the main thing is what? So for us to experience God or the Lord, the way is to follow the anointing. Go along with the anointing. Just take care of the anointing. So it says, many saints today still take care of their mind, thoughts, ideas. They just follow those things. Don't follow those things. Take care of the inner feeling, the inner sense and consciousness, even the inner registration. Help the saints to go inside and follow that anointing. And then number three, even your speaking. Learn to not speak from memory, but speak from your inner sense and inner consciousness. I gave 20 points to the Chinese saints. Mm-hmm. Did I give it to you? I gave it.
Give to me.
Some in New Jersey, if you were in New Jersey or in somewhere recently, I could not go there. I don't know. Anyone here was there with the sort of the students?
No,
the, in Peniel or whatever, that camp in New York. I couldn't go, so I wrote 20 points, like a poem, 20 points, right? And I sent it to them. He was there, John Liu is there. And 20 points. One of the points is, do not stress instructions. What I mean by that is, do not stress in just mere instructions in your teaching. I said stress the anointing in your teaching. Today, still too many brothers speak not from the anointing, but from their mentality. They have a lot of fantastic spiritual information, and they are good in articulating them, but they are not the anointing. They are just a good speech on a certain spiritual subject. Only speaking from the anointing will dispense God.
Amen.
So even as I'm speaking here, I'm helping God to paint us.
Amen.
Am I right?
Amen.
A proper speaking should leave us with more God,
Amen.
Not just more teaching and doctrine or information. Okay, so we have to learn to speak from our inner sense and inner consciousness. The saints need to learn to do that. And you have to practice to find out what that means. Now tell the saints, you have to practice. Then you will begin to know. Okay, the three major things we need to realize related to anointing to help the saints. 1, 2, 3. Number one, you have to keep yourself in the fellowship with the Lord by exercising the Spirit. That's Romans 3 in lesson 1. You're repeating that. Second, you have to apply the cross to yourselves. That means you have to deny your feeling, your active mind, your opinions, and your kind of natural concepts. You have to heed, deny all of that so that you can, what's left is the anointing within you. It's similar to how to know your spirit. Number three, the anointing, always remember, is based on the Lord's blood. First the blood, and then the ointment. Cleansing, then the anointing comes, right?
Yeah.
If we pass not through Golgotha, ne'er through Pentecost will come. So this A.B. Simpson song, it's a very good song that tells us that, like in the Old Testament, before the priests are anointed with the compound ointment, they have to be first sprinkled. Because God can never touch anything unholy. We need always to apply the Lord's blood. Based on the redemption by the Lord's blood, we experience the anointing. Okay? These are important things, and you have to help the saints to know this in their experience. Okay, lastly, let me just... Now we come to the teaching. Okay, number one, the primary purpose of the anointing of the Holy Spirit is to bring more of God's essence and element into us. That's clear. That's lesson two. Now we come to the secondary purpose. The secondary purpose is to let us know the will of God. Everybody wants to know God's will. How do you know God's will? I tell you, the best way is through the anointing. Okay, so this helps us not only get painted, the anointing with God's essence, but it also helps us to be clear what the Lord's mind is. The more practice you are, the more you will know the Lord's mind through his anointing. B, it is what? The anointing is the Holy Spirit within us. Through this anointing, that God's will is revealed to us. So we know what we should do, what we should not do, and many things in our daily life. And see, it is through this anointing, this painting, God speaks, teaches, and reveals. In the anointing, in the painting, in the painting, in the process of the painting, that means the adding, we also get to know what is God's will or God's mind. Okay, number two, this anointing teaches us concerning all things. Well, In 1 John, where this verse is, this thought is taken from, it really, this all things really mean the things of Christ. The things of Christ. Not just where you should go to school or who you should marry and those kind of things, but it's all things related to Christ. But we can still apply this for sure to our daily life and daily decisions and daily directions. So he said, whenever when we say the anointing teaches us, that means the painting teaches us. The actual painting is what communicates what God wants in the actual process of that painting. When we say, Lord, you know, you can tell the saints, you're sitting there at the prophesying meeting, how many of the experience the Spirit is moving? Am I right? But how often we don't obey it. And then we say, thank the Lord, he's not bothering me anymore. No, no. It means the flow just left you. It is not a small thing to not follow the anointing in the meetings. You have to help the saints in this matter. Okay, all right. So when we ask the Lord, what should I do? The Lord will paint. The Lord will tell us by painting us. He talked about marriage, and then he also talked about whether we agree with him or not agree with him, we'll get painted. But it's better to obey, not just get painted, but to obey. Okay, so it says, be impressed with the fact that the anointing teaches us. The anointing is the teaching, okay? The anointing is the teaching. Not only the anointing teaches, but the anointing itself is the teaching. Number three, the purpose of the anointing is not our obeying, but our abiding. This is a very good point. We think obey the anointing, but actually John 2, 27 says, even as it has taught you, abide in him. The result of our being anointed or even being taught by this anointing is the more it teaches us, the more we learn to remain in the Lord, to abide in the Lord according to that teaching. You know, Brother Lee said here, he said, if we obey God's painting 20 times out of 100, we may be the best Christian on the earth. So tell the saints, don't disobey the teaching of the anointing. But praise the Lord, even when we disobey, God still paints us. All right? So the anointing, therefore, is not just to tell us to do the right thing, make the right choice, make the correct decision, but the anointing eventually has one goal, that we would abide in him. We would abide in the anointing, and through that we will abide in the triune God. Isn't this good?
Yes.
All right? Very, very experiential, very, very practical. And I hope through this next month, 3 weeks, you will help the saints really into this matter. But the first thing, brothers, I say again, we ourselves need to be in these things. And so we can share the saints, not just with the doctrines, but with our own subjective experience. Amen?
Amen.
That's the three lessons for next month. We are still on what right now? Sense of life. That is always the precursor to knowing the anointing. There's a difference. You know, sense of life and the anointing. Sense of life is what I call more reactive. Whereas the anointing is the active God actively moving. It doesn't depend on environment or what you did or what. It's God active movement within us.
Amen.
Okay? Did you, in talking to the saints about sense of light, did you use the example of sugar and salt? That means, the point is, you look not carefully, of course, salt and sugar is the same. They're white, they're powdery. How do you know what is what? Stick your tongue into the salt. Salty. Stick your tongue into sugar. It's sweet. That's the sense of life. So you react to by your taste. And the life within us, divine life, has a taste. As we contact certain things or behave in a certain way or be in a certain environment, this is sweet or this is bitter. The sweet, you know, this is good. This is fine. When it's bitter or whatever, right? You know this is not good. But the anointing is not this. The anointing is not sweet or bitter. The anointing is just God coming to add himself and in so doing, teaching you about himself and his feeling and mind and will at a particular juncture about many things in our Christian life. All right? It's a marvelous, marvelous thing. Let us sing the other song. 66. This is the old one. And also a very, very good one, written by Brother Lee. And after this, we take a break.